The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Paddy and Steve. You all right, fellas?
Hello, mate.
Hello.
And Paddy couldn't make it last week for our live thing, but Pete can't make it this week. I don't know if you saw Pete. He gave us a glimpse of his Christmas party. Very camp. He's dressed up.
Yeah, what was going on there? That was there were lots of showgirls.
Yeah, he's wearing a tie. That's a posh Christmas do. He has to wear a tie and a suit. And it's really odd with Pete because you know, you put your Christmas tree up, Pad, and as you know, Megan's a big fan of that. She's had the Christmas tree up since start of November, and so it's literally gone nuts. And so it's odd. We actually kept our blinds and curtains shut. I did anyway for most of November. I didn't want people to see our Christmas tree in the street. You know, it's a bit embarrassing putting up that early. You don't want people to see it. Now we can open the blinds up. We put our tree up last weekend. Yes. It's been up for 2 months almost.
You must be sick of it by now, right?
Yeah, well, it is a bit annoying. Just take up the room. But anyway, but Pete sort of obviously you showed your picture of Christmas tree on the WhatsApp group, and Steve showed his hiding behind the sofa. Why is he hiding behind the sofa, Steve?
That was one of the bleakest photos I've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? It looks worse in the photo than it does in the room because obviously you can walk around the room to see it. But that's just small living room problems.
It looked like a foyer of a travel lodge or something.
The problem I got is I just don't have any room to put it anywhere else. So.
Yeah, that's the problem. It literally is a dominant feature. He just chucks it behind the sofa, squashes it in there. But Pete then tried to show us a picture of his Christmas tree, his fabulous, massive tree, and yet, you know, him in the foreground, he's taking a selfie, wearing a suit and tie. I said, well, you've dressed up to put your tree up. It's a bit formal, isn't it? I mean, you know, we put Christmas songs on and be a bit festive, but we don't put a tie and suit on. What's going on there? And turns out he's at a Christmas party with girls, entrepreneurs, artists and all. That's a bit camp, isn't it, for a Christmas party, do you think?
I quite like it. A bit of a Cirque du Soleil theme.
Do you like that? I get dragged to things like that. I want something I enjoy, but that's... who voted for the camp Christmas, Pete? But Steve, you'd like that, would you?
That's a bit. There's something different in there. It's not the normal kind of Christmas party. Yeah,
look pretty regional. I've got to be honest. I imagine like regional sales offices do for their Christmas parties.
Yeah, let's go to London and do something showy and musical. Yes. Why? I don't.
Or was that in London?
I don't know. I think, but you know, that's what regional things do.
That looked like Guildford, Reigate, somewhere like that.
No, there is a place in London off the Thames that does that thing. I think like Denise Hampton does it.
Venues. It's great. The Great Gatsby is called the Gatsby Christmas. Where is it? It's a Gatsby Christmas in London. There we are.
I'm really struggling not to swear to describe what I think about it. It's
This Christmas, London Cabaret Club presents a Gatsby Christmas, a dazzling full-scale Christmas extravaganza in the heart of Bloomsbury. Step into a glittery, magical winter wonderland for a unique entertainment experience that combines an amazing performance with luxury dining.
Oh, I know where that is. We had a Christmas party there a few years ago, didn't we?
I don't know.
GCAP one.
No, I wasn't there. But listen, like I said, last weekend, so I want your review. Keep it positive, guys. This is what annoys me, right? We went to, Basingstoke, me, Megan, Pete, Steve, Paddy, booked an escape room. Now, they're all booked out. Early in the week, they're all booked out. The physical escape room is all booked out. So I went for the VR thing. Normally, maximum 4 people in the VR room. Apparently, they had an issue in the shopping centre there. There was some kind of leak, and it messed up one of the computers. So there's only 3 headsets available. So I said, Paddy, Pete, Steve, get in there. Megan will take me shopping. I need some trainers anyway. And we had some food and drinks as well. But you went in there. And, of course, I've got a fair chunk of money invested in escape room. Came out. You look very unenthusiastic. I thought, oh, God, this doesn't look good. And I said, what was it like, Pete? He said, well, it's just like stacking boxes. I said, what? Well, you just had to go back and forth stacking boxes. That's it, for an hour. I thought, what are you talking about? Stacking boxes, yes. And Paddy says, like being in a B&Q warehouse, really. So people,
you were making a kid, you were like excited parents. Going, oh, come on, kids, how was it? And you're like, like stacking boxes.
I know. I thought, what? I'm selling my shares on Monday morning. What's going on here? And I started to have panic attacks almost, thinking, I got a decent chunk of shares. And then turns out it was a bit of a gag. So, You started me panicking. I literally did have a panic attack almost. What the hell?
You went white.
But then the thing is, because you were playing along with the theme, the guy there were very enthusiastic hosts, games masters. They were like looking very disappointed because they thought, okay, we won't get a TripAdvisor.
The important people.
Yeah, they won't get a TripAdvisor review of them, 5-star rating. No chance. Because they've walked out looking, that was odd. But so anyway, so you were doing the survival VR thing, right? Take us through it. Steve in the end said, I like that actually. I want to go and do it again. I prefer that to a physical escape room. But so what was it like? What were your thoughts?
I've never done anything like that before. And I've done VR stuff, but not stuff that's actually been like properly well done. Like I've done VR stuff for
We know you've done it for. Yeah, we know what you've done it for. Very popular websites. We know.
Yeah. Very immersive.
Yeah.
But this was. I was actually quite surprised how good it was. Like when they put you initially, you're on a plane, and then that crashes, and it did actually feel like you were on a plane, and then. I mean, you know you're in a computer game, but actually you could also sort of forget that you're not in a computer game. Yeah. Like the challenges themselves weren't exactly thrilling, but it was interesting to see how you complete the challenges. And I think I would probably go back and do it again now I understand it a bit better. Yeah. It was a good fun out.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Because when you first went, I don't know about you, but I was walking into the walls because I was like, okay, no, you're not supposed to walk, are you?
Well, you walk with your hands, do you? Walk your hands.
Yeah, we walk with your hands, yeah. So that's when you get your head around it. And after a while, you kind of like, it's bizarre, isn't it? You forget that you're actually in a room on your own. Because you're all connected by little mics and headsets as well. So you can all chat and talk. And,
you bump into each other, or you're all in different...
No, well, you're in the same... You're kind of in the same room, but it's kind of partitioned off in like with curtains. So you are kind of in a room on your own, but... You're in the room with other people. Yeah, it's weird, but yeah.
So how did you? So what? For example, what do you have to do? Get off the island. And what do you need to do? Get off the island.
We had to collect sticks and axes and fruit. It took us a while to figure out how to do all those things.
Okay, and that's part of the deal, isn't it? That's part of the deal. What's the to that? You said at the start, I wouldn't mind a bit more guidance at the start, but I think that's part of the deal, isn't it? Because they don't want you to complete it, because of course they wanted you to come back and try it again, because you did say, I wouldn't mind trying again now, because I know the basics.
But also, this is probably aimed at people a bit younger than us, and not that people our age couldn't do it, but also, like, they'd probably pick up a bit quicker. They've probably done this stuff a few more times. We would just be in numpties, I think.
I think if you were a gamer and you understood, like, controllers a little bit more, you'd probably do a little bit better. Because it took us half the game to work out how to get an axe out to cut a tree down. And eventually it was like, oh, right, you literally just grab it off your hands. We were like, all right, well, that's
That's a good thing. Do you know, I know people who mess around with the Oculus and all that stuff, and people have got them, and I've never done it. So I'm not, au fait with the controllers. So I wouldn't, so that does help, I suppose, to get in there.
But
once you get the hang of the controllers, they're quite easy, that part of it, the functionality of it.
Yeah, totally. By the end of it, we were like, okay, yeah, we could probably, in fact, we were kind of like rushing through the tasks toward the end, because when you could kind of get it, because then you work out, like, you've got to eat and drink, like, regularly through the game, not physically in the game, you've got to go and find a pineapple to eat.
Yeah,
you're halfway through a task, and then suddenly your arm starts flashing, going, you need to go and eat and drink, you're like, oh, God.
So,
it's like a thing to do with a group of, like, a small group of mates, like, it would be a perfectly... fun hour to spend, and you could probably have, you know, three or four groups talking. I'd see how good it is now.
Yeah, but do you know what? Is it what's interesting about the VR thing is that they've got, if you physically in an escape room there, so you go the way the bases do, there's a little reception area at the top, and you go below, and there's a whole sort of floor, almost lots of different rooms, physical rooms. So I think there's five physical rooms there, or six maybe. But with VR, it's just one room. And of course, they just swap the games out. So you've got the options of playing, say, four or six different games, VR games. But of course, it's just software. So just, software package.
Interesting. The one thing I did say after the game, I was like, not being negative, I was kind of like, surely you could buy that kit and do that at home on your own and like do it over the net. And I went and looked how much the kit was, and it's really expensive. So actually, not the kind of thing you'd buy for your home. So yeah, and the kit they are using, I probably did geek into it, is they are using pretty much the best headsets. Because you can buy like VR headsets, which are a couple hundred quid, but the kit they're using is like top end stuff, so it's not really.
And also, you wouldn't
to buy home.
Exactly, you wouldn't buy four sets for your home, would you? And then say, mates, coming round, have a game. It's an event you go out and do once in a while, isn't it? So, okay, cool. No, but I'm glad that lifted me a bit after that. Steve did say no, he's messing around. It's fine. It was good. It was, I thought, oh, stacking boxes. What the heck is going on? This is, I said, I didn't see that in any of the reviews. People are saying stacking boxes. What the heck? Panic attack.
Like the whole way it was hosted was good as well, wasn't it? Like, I was impressed by that.
Yeah, yeah. The guys, they're very good. I mean, they are enthusiastic. So, like, the young people are enthusiastic about it. And, in fact, that one girl said, oh, yeah, do you know what? I hate working here. I get to play free games, basically for a living, and get talk to people about gaming and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it's good, I suppose. It's nice. I like that. But then, I said that the economic model of the VR thing is very good. Because essentially, you can just have, from a physical escape room, you have six games, for example. You can double that just with a VR room, with one room. You can have six different games in there. So the content is massive there. So in one site, you can have like 12 different games. Six physical, six VR. So from an economic, and apparently you don't own the software. It's a development. It's pay per play, apparently. So you don't pay a lot up front on the games, and that's why they can swap out thematic games like Christmas, Halloween, all that stuff. So very good. I like that. Marvelous. Okay, so I won't be dumping my shares, then it's fine.
It's just like the Matrix, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, do you know what someone said? Are you worried about the Omicron variant? Is it going to dip and all that stuff? What do you see bookings going down and all that? And part of me thinks, that's part of the life in investing, though. I mean, are you going to see through this? It's Omicron thing. You're now getting evidence that it's quite mild. You get reinfected, yeah. But if you have booster jabs, vulnerable, you're probably protected against it. And there may be a little dip. The market's been dipping and very volatile this week. But you've got to look through it. I think 2022, I think we'll have a Santa rally, because a bearish setup is good for a Santa rally. You can't rally at the top, keep rallying. So you got the bearish setup for this rally. And I think 2022 will be excellent, because we'll be past the winter, so there'll be less stress on the NHS, even though if you look at the figures already, there's not many more people being, in fact, there's hardly any. I think there's the same amount of hospitalizations as there was last month. It hasn't gone up that much at all, if anything. So, but the pressure on the NHS got beyond winter to be good. I think 2022 is going to be a good year, lads. I really do, for the markets, and we need it. I think it'll be a revisit almost of 2020. So you got to hold it. You can't predict, the ups and downs of the market. It's like, literally, if you do that, you're just trading, and you end up just jumping in and out, missing, the big days happen very close to the big up days, happen very close to the big down days. So you can't time the market like that. So if you're investing in a good business, stick with the business. I think Escaper or XP Factory will be a takeout target by a bigger company in like a year's time. Once they're chucking out a bit of cash, because bigger companies want predictable cash flow. They want visibility of earnings. Once they see that, I think it could get taken out. And so if you're in a good business, as always, the hardest thing to do is nothing, isn't it? So easy to worry yourself out of an investment by short-term temporary noise. Like now, Omicron. Oh, like the markets. That's nuts, isn't it? Do you see the markets? When there's, I don't know how many cases there are of COVID in the US, but millions. And yet they had one case of Omicron and the markets fell out of bed. Are you kidding? That's nuts, isn't it? The overreaction there.
Well, it is, but also it's understandable. Like, there is an unknown threat. Like, you just have a look at what you own and sell a few that might be under threat, won't you?
Well, why though? But time and time again, that's the thing. That's the whole point. The whole point is doing nothing is very hard, and I keep saying that because it's a lot easier just, worry about something and sell it and then realise, oh, I made a mistake there. And I said before, whenever I've concentrated, in fact, I did the webinar on Wednesday, whenever I've pretty much concentrated on the share price of a company in the past, it's done me no favours. All I've pretty much done is sold way before the actual potential of the company, took effect on the share price. And I've missed that on multi-bagger. In fact, another one, actually, I talked about, Algo Blockchain, talked about Open Orphan even. What else was there? 10-bagger. Powerhouse Energy, talked about that. Talked about, and also KR1, which is a crypto fund. In fact, George comes on the podcast, and they know their stuff. These guys know their stuff. They're in early on very good, crypto projects. and they get early seed funders. And that's that. When I look back at when I was talking about that on Twitter, it was January 2018 I was talking about that. I held that stock. It was 14 million market cap. Now, over 200 million market cap. And do you know what I didn't do? I just basically looked at the share price and said, oh, the market's a bit wobbly, and jumped out. And I've missed out on bringing us a 10-bagger there. So, and I've done that so many times. You've got to have a bit of patience, you know. I mean, these businesses are starting, they're on a pathway to profitability. They're not there yet. You've got to give them a chance. You know, you've got to give a new company at least 3 years, pretty much, to get motoring. You know, in a year, you probably, if you're underwater, you probably get into a bit of profit. But 3 years in a company that's generating, you know, increasing, growing revenues, and they're going to be profitable, that's what you've got to give them, 3 years. So don't worry about
the There's probably like noise. Two groups of people there, aren't there? There's like the loads of people who actually know what they're doing, who might have a big chunk in that, who sold very quickly, and that is what initially made the share price go down. And then everyone else who's panicking afterwards. And the people in the first group are probably may well have bought back in now and have got themselves a nice little profit. Mm. And everyone else is scrambling around trying to chase the price.
Yeah. But I mean, if you, but the thing is, the price. It's like Bitcoin at the moment. You know, I said this. I did cover it on the webinar. I said I'm obsessed with the Bitcoin chart because it's very volatile. Right? But you can see patterns there. But and I zoomed out. I said most people trade Bitcoin, you know, or they hold it, but they look on short term metrics. I mean, they're talking about an hourly chart, you know, or even a sort of 4 hour chart. Some look at dailies, but if you look at a weekly on Bitcoin, there was a couple of metrics there rolling over, and I said, this isn't very good for Bitcoin. It's called the MACDs, you know, moving average converging. I said, look, it's moving, it's rolling over, and the longer you look at in the time frame, the more pronounced or more obvious the trend is, or stronger the trend is. And it's crashed. It's basically, last couple of days, it's gone by 20% or something like that. And at the moment, it's down like 10%. And the thing with crypto is, there's no altcoins and the cryptocurrencies. There's no fundamental value to the businesses. You can't, you know, how do you value them? That's what I kept saying on the webinar last week, on the weekend podcast. How do you value them? Because at the moment, they're valued like crazy, you know, crazy levels, billions. And yet there's no business there. There's no revenue. There's no profit forecast or anything. So if they crash, people don't have a lot of faith in what they're going to do. It's all based in the future. All this is the future. How do you price the future? You don't. Not every one of these 10,000 coins are going to do well. So when they're priced at like a billion and they start falling, people just sell because they have no faith in the fundamental, you know, intrinsic value of the company. Whereas with, you know, stocks, for example, AIM, at least if they've got revenue and they've got cash and all that stuff and they've got a pathway to profitability, there's some value there, so you can hold. I trust, you know, I have faith in this company. Some people will jump out, be right there. People, when I first started, if a share price went down, you'd start to worry. You think, oh, there's something wrong with the business. And that's it. You'll start to see now flaws. People talking about Bitcoin having flaws because the share price is falling. They'll say, see, this was crazy. Never had. But conversely, when it's at the highs, people are just, you know, shouting about the positivities of Bitcoin. And that's
something
the market.
You still buying and selling Bitcoin?
No, I haven't done it for a while.
You've moved out of it now?
Yeah.
Made your money.
Yeah, no, well, I didn't. Again, that's another thing. I Bitcoin, you know, I was talking about that, did a couple of videos on that, and $8,000-$9,000, lost patience with it, and went to $60,000. So, you know, again, and that was because of a bit of volatility or impatience. Whenever you just focus on the price, which is all you can do, I suppose, with a lot of altcoins, is that you'll be affected by the price movements. And you can't do that. You've got to look at the businesses underneath. And there's trouble with crypto. I don't know what the businesses are. It's like they're all, if you look at every single altcoin out there, even, you know, Turkey Inu, they've probably all got little white papers and you have to read. And they all seem quite viable, but it's just ideas, isn't it? Anything's an idea. So, in fact, Fred wants to make money, right? My son. He wants to go to business ideas. And that's the thing. Anything's an idea, isn't it? Until, I kept saying on the webinar this week, how do you know a business is viable? You know, you go from a cracking idea, because have you seen, in fact, I've talked about this lots of times, and you know this, you know, Melody VR, that became Napster. Have you seen what they've done?
No.
Well, it started up. I know Steve is a skeptic of this, and I said, well, listen, VR is very hypey, you know, and they started off by doing these concerts, didn't they? In your living room. If you can't go to a concert, they can do a virtual ticket. And you can watch Justin Bieber, for example, if you're in New Zealand or in the UK and he's in America. But we said that the whole point of concerts, though, surely, is the atmosphere, meeting with friends. It's the event. It's the So, but it rallied from like 1 pence to 12 pence, and I held pretty much. So I did well on that. Then I realized, oh, hang on. Then they started to justify, and I did say on Twitter, there's a difference between a hope, hype, potential stock and a sustainable growth stock. So hope, hype, potential, you can make a lot of money in it if you're in early. You've got to be in very early, though. And then, but when it shoots up and goes crazy, if it does shoot up and go crazy, you've got to understand sooner or later, people are going to start questioning the valuation. And if that company can't come out with, you know, revenue growth, even if it's from nothing to something, if it can't come out with sustainable, quite impressive revenue growth, it's going to tank. And so you've got to get out. And then you've got to wait then to see if it becomes a viable business. And that means revenue growth. And that sort of, you know, raise in the share price is a lot less, you know, pronounced. It's not as aggressive. It doesn't explode.
So what have they done now?
Now, what they've done now is they've first of all, they went with VR headsets. Then they went with streaming music. I thought, are you kidding? Spotify moving away from streaming music. They're trying to do podcasts and other stuff because there's not much, because obviously when you're paying artists, there's not much room for margins. They pay artists very little, and then there's not a lot of margin there. Does Spotify make money? I don't know if it does. Obviously, Spotify's the biggest out there. It was the disruptor. It still doesn't make money, I don't think.
But I think that's more a deliberate thing than a... because it couldn't. I think it probably can. They're just investing lots of money in stuff that...
But they are diversifying away in a more higher-margin business, you know, because at the moment it's like... But they are the best out there, pretty much, in Spotify. But so they decided to go and change the name to Napster. They acquired Napster and decided to do that. There's lots of players in the streaming...
Napster were already doing that. That's the difference.
Yeah, but... But Spotify, the biggest and best, can't make money, right? It's a very competitive market, streaming. Now they decided, right, because look at the share prices, a car crash, they decided that, the valuation of our company isn't a true reflection of where we are at in the UK markets. So they're delisting on AIM and going to float in the US, apparently. So I think, well, a bad business model is a bad business model wherever you are in the world. You know, the share price is going to go nuts there. They need to just pivot to something else, you know?
Hang on, was Melody VR a UK company then?
Yeah, EVRH. You jumped out, didn't
you? Oh, that was EVRH. Yeah.
I made some money on them, mate.
No, I didn't make any money on that.
They haven't done that thing last week, though. I could see why it might be fun to go to like a live gig in that experience. If it was like an event and you were doing it live at the same time as the thing was happening,
yeah.
I could see that as... Like if you were in a one of those rooms around the country, or if you could have a decent setup at home, then that I could see the benefit of that. But I can't understand why anyone would put a headset on and then watch back an old gig. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, but even that though is questionable. I mean, first of all, I'm not a big fan of concerts. I know I don't like lots of people. You know, that's the thing.
It's not for you, is it?
No, I know it's not for me. But as a youngster, the you know. It was exciting bit about concerts, actually going there and actually being with your friends and being out there. Now, this share price has gone from May 2016, I think this is when we sort of got in there, it went from 1.3 pence and then it went to 13 pence, that's 10 bags by March next year, pretty much a year, did 10 bags. Then it came down then in 2018 to like 7 pence, then back up to 18 pence then in May 2018. And then all of a sudden, it's just gone all the way down, and now it's gone from a high of 18 pence to 0.3 of a pence.
Wow.
Jesus.
So, and
just
people
stop, lads.
And people have been...
They spent a lot of money on rights and on filming stuff, and there's a lot of people's money wrapped up in that, right?
Mm. Yeah.
It's like releasing a single, isn't it? It's in the charts. You're potentially going to get 0.1%.
Yeah, but it's gone. It's delisting. Mm. I don't understand what's going on there. So, but... What I'm saying is, if you're in this is the thing is, a hope pipe potential stock, where you can make a lot of money very quickly, you know, and it can 10 bag if it's in the right sector, if it's a hot sector and lots of people behind it, it's a good idea, it's, you know, easy to sell, it's a big market out there commercially, potentially, but then you've got to know when to get out because it'll rise quickly, the valuation will be crazy, people say, well, hang on a sec, it's like 150 million market cap and they got revenue of like 300 grand. What's going on here? So that's then you realize if they can't back that up saying, oh, next year it'll be 3 million in revenue and then it'll continue to grow, then fair enough. But if it, you know, otherwise, get out. You've got to get out. So that's one of those that happened there. It happens all the time. Hope, Hype, Potential. The chart is a good well-known chart called The Hype Cycle. It's worth checking that out. Because and I've covered it loads of times in videos saying, if you're in, and basically, this is the rule of thumb. If you're in a company, right, that's, I'd say, over 100 million market cap, this is UK listed, of course, and it's got very little revenue, and all that value is based on the future potential, be careful, you've missed out. And you, if you're still talking about this, oh, it's going to go to the moon, and literally it's stuttering, the share price is stuttering, be careful.
Unless I mean, it might just take a long, very long time.
Yeah, yeah, but normally what happens, it'll come back down, and like, if you look at the hype cycle chart, it basically has an explosive growth on hope hype potential of the future. Then the valuation is so big it can't be justified, so it comes right back down almost to where it started. You get a lot of people dumping, but you've still got these people believing in it. Some people will hold on, most won't. And then all of a sudden, it'll start bottoming out. And if they can start generating revenue, which makes shows the business is viable, you know, it's not just an idea, it's actually a business, then it'll start growing slowly and start creeping back up, and that's more sustainable. So you either get in very early on a hope high potential stock, or you wait until the sell-off's happened, see if the business is viable, check out the revenue growth, and say it is viable because revenue's growing. And then essentially you get in there. But you don't. What you want to miss is the top, of course, and you want to get in the bottom somewhere. That's a buy low, sell high.
Think doing the escape hunt, I think, last week was really good to see the fact that like it's a proper business and there's proper bricks and mortar there. And that was the guy who looked after us did a great job of sort of selling what was going on. And it felt, you know, I could see how one of those in every major town around the country could do really well. Mm. So that was really good to see. So that's given me some more.
Hope. It's good. It's good. Peter Lynch, One Up on Wall Street, a famous book. He's a fund manager, one of the best fund managers. His performance is amazing. And it was called One Up on Wall Street because it was about knowing, you know, about products before the market knows about it, you know? And so it's almost like saying, as a shareholder, it's very good for you to actually go and try something that you own shares in.
Yeah.
And because you own a part of that business. And think, is this a business I can see working? And when I even looked yesterday, I tried to book on, it was early Tuesday, and they were booked out on the weekend, all the sites, all booked.
I thought, that's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought, that's quite good. And then I thought, oh, okay. And then the VR. I think the only reason why the VR wasn't booked out is because generally people go in twos or fours, you know? And so because one headset wasn't working there because of that flood or whatever happened, then it was three is an awkward number. But so that was the only option we had. So, yeah, and you go there. It's very professional. The branding's nice. Even the Christmas tree. We thought, well, that's a bit almost gothic tree, isn't it? It's black and orange. And so Megan was saying, why is it black and orange? And the tinsel was black. I said, well, that's the brand, the colour of the brand. If you look around the thing, it's all brand. Even the tree is branded up, you know? So it's all very nicely done. Yeah, yeah. I have faith in the guys at Escape Hunt. I mean, just knowing Richard and talking to him and knowing what he's doing and where it goes, I think it'll be taken out. If you look at the COO, like he created Giraffe Restaurants, I was taken out by... in fact, someone... Let me look at this. Someone's... Richard...
He bought Giraffe, didn't he?
Yeah, remember Richard was involved with Harrison Hall, bought out by Tesco. Also, Pret, bought up by Jab Holdings, owners of Krispy Kreme, etc. Giraffe, of course, was bought out by Tesco. So these guys know how to create businesses. They get bought out, you know, and they do that. So I can see that happening. They'll create it. But as I said, big businesses want transparency, visibility of earnings. And so once they've got a year behind them of profitable growth, and that's what they're heading for, that's what Richard is saying, you know, H1 of the next year, profitable. That's good, you know.
So is that transaction for the bars gone through? Is that all finished?
Yeah, it's all done now. Yeah.
So they now own that.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, why is it? Yeah. So it's all done. So, but like Richard said, you know, it's going to take them a couple of months to get the operations up to speed and so they. But on maybe on the franchises, but the O2 actually taking bookings now. That's huge. That's like 17,000 square feet. That's taking bookings.
I'll tell you who they should buy next. Cozy Club.
Yeah, cozy. We went there, didn't we? It's
funny. I've been thinking about that mac and cheese burger all week.
That was good, wasn't it? I've had a little few thoughts about that as well.
I never heard of them. So it's one in Cardiff.
On their website now.
Is there one in Cardiff? Yeah, Steve?
The one in Cardiff. Two in Cardiff than the one in Basingstoke. To be fair,
the one in Cardiff is what better?
Oh yeah, there is two in Cardiff actually. Yeah, there's one down the bay.
Cozy Club. Oh yeah, I've never.
So it's like a prohibition theme bar for.
Yeah, it's, I suppose it is. Yeah. Yeah, it's very oddly decorated. Oh, yeah, so ports. our locations, Nottingham North.
Because for me was the real treat of last weekend, getting to see Basingstoke.
Paddy, as soon as he comes to the train station, he's like, God, it's bleak here, isn't it?
The Wetherspoons we went into.
That Wetherspoons, the thing is, Wetherspoons, I thought it was quite well done. You wouldn't, if you took the clientele out of it, you know what I'm saying? It looked okay. But the same old same customers, isn't it? No, it was. I think I've not been at Wetherspoons for a long time, right? But as a Wetherspoons, the decor in there was quite decent, I thought. But then
it's the same in every Wetherspoons.
No, but it's not.
There were some posh ones. I was running down one in Somerset a few weeks ago, and it's really posh. It's like a proper West End nightclub.
Yeah, but I think Steve, what sullied your impression of that was the clientele. You look around there, and there's a family there. Overweight people wearing thick glasses and taking advantage of the cheap food. They thought, the clientele hasn't changed, is it?
Yeah, I was distracted by the guy on the table next to us. We were talking very loud with no teeth, so he was like,
"Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's it." I think if you got no teeth, then I think you get money off. I think.
Yeah, you're welcome doing it, Wetherspoons.
Yeah, have no teeth, get 10% off our curry club. I was looking through the markets, and they're all. I know it's odd, but bullish, bearish. It's a contrarian thing. Everything is quite bearish at the moment, and I quite like that because it's only one way to go. The valuations come down; they're more attractive. I mean, look at Biome, for example. It has come down last week when the big sell-off. Nothing happened, and Biome's come down now. It's now sub 10 million market cap. They're going to be doing 5 million in revenue this year, and that's with two profit warnings. Next year, they're going to be 8.4 million. So literally one-time sales in, quite a hot sector, isn't it? Biodegradable plastics and all that stuff, where there's pressure on brands.
There was one of our, I think it was actually just one of our stocks, which we can't talk about because it's still in the investing club. That did very well on Friday.
Yes, Steve, yes.
Did it?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say what stock it is. I think it's good teaser for what it is.
I'll be revealing that next Friday. I did send an email out to the investing club saying, listen, obviously, of course, I've been mentioned this 3 weeks ago in the webinar. I'm going to be talking about it publicly on the 10th of December. Oh, I like it. It's in a very hot sector. In fact, I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm signed up to it on Google Alerts. It's very good. I like Google Alerts. You just get to just go in there, type in what you want to, get news on. And in fact, I've just got one now on Boom Battle Bar, because I've signed up for Boom Battle Bar. Tourism Awards, they've been shortlisted, Boom Battle Bar in Liverpool. Liverpool's Boom Battle Bar has been shortlisted for the Tourism Awards or whatever. So, I've set up an alert for this one sector, this company we talk about. And the news coming out is phenomenal. It's a new area, very hot. And big companies, massive companies, in fact, countries, are revealing strategies that focus around this sector. And when you get that kind of news flow, and this sector needs investment, when you get that kind of, global interest, money flowing into it, there's something happening here. On a daily basis, big stories coming out from biggest companies in the world adopting this. And you're thinking, wow, this is a very hot sector. And this company we're talking about, I think, has both the hope pipe potential and it'll transition into revenue, growth in revenue as well, quite nicely. So you may have a massive pop, but I don't think the drop will be very big because I think already they've got things happening there that will that'll stoke up the revenue. The revenue growth will be exceptional, I think. So if that happens, so yes. But small things like Gfinity. Do you see Gfinity released? Where is it? Oh, it's Twitter. I know. Paddy's a big fan of logos and stuff. He's very down on logos. But when they announced
the new logo,
when they announced that website a while back, is it OMG mobile gaming site?
Oh god, yeah, it was awful, wasn't it? It's like it'd been drawn by a child.
It's meant to be a bit cute. It's a mobile gaming site, right? But they announced. By the way, look at that. Racing games as well, they launched that a while back. They've had a record month in November, almost doubled its previous user record, which is huge. Let me just open up my thing, because I did write the stats on these. But the sites they're doing, and that's it. With digital media, right, there's good margin there, big margins, like 70, 80% gross margins on digital media. Because once you get the content up, then you get content writers. Once you've built the websites and you've ploughed the money into them, sunk investment is there. All you need to do is refresh the content all the time. Good content then attracts, and once you've got a plethora of these sites that are interlinked and have a synergy, and they just grow faster and faster, and they get bigger and bigger, more value per user, more users. It's a twin engines of growth there. But look at these. For example, Racing Games is one of their sites. Launched in November 2020, 75,000 visitors first month. Now 525,000 visitors, and they've doubled that. So that's that alone on the lower figure is a 600% increase in visitors. All right. Launched in December, it was what was this? Epic Streams, 500,000 visitors in December. Now 3.5 million per month. Another 600% increase. MTG, I don't know what Magic the Rocks that is. It's a niche sort of site, but that's the lowest growth of any site they've had. But that's up 133% to 350,000 visitors a month. And also, OMG, here we are. Launched June the 1st, 2021. So from nothing, it's now 1.2 million users a month. And this is without the bigger, I think the bigger ones, Siege and Stock Informer. That's without those because those are monetized. Now, they've all optimized these sites now for advertising. And if you look, when you get to a certain level, a critical mass, and they're all within a certain area, brands approach you. They want exposure to your audience, and it's happening already. So it gets easier. You know, the hardest bit is just starting off. But once you get that critical mass of users and followers, it's like a snowball effect. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so I don't know if you saw a lot of campaigns now on their sites from Amazon, people like that, buying, you know, the wraparounds, the videos and the sites. So that, and yet GFinity at the moment, you know, a good update, but, you know, in a bad time, the markets took a big hit. And now it's at like, what is it at? It's literally trading on, what, five times, less than five times next year's forecasted revenue. I think less than three times, I think. So it's cheap and in a very hot area. So, yeah, it's already, people know about the businesses. Just keep an eye on GFinity. They punch out the figures every now and again, and the sites are growing massively, you know. And add to this, you know, all the esports tournaments and all that stuff. I think it's a good place at the moment.
Do you reckon they're just going to sit back, like, sort of quietly doing that for a year or so, and then just, I mean, to be fair, every time they release really good news, the share price goes down. Do you reckon there'll be a point where everyone just sort of actually goes, you know what, these guys know what they're doing and it's working really nicely, and the share price might actually go up?
Yeah, well, I think the reason why it went down, I think, is, of course, it's still legacy management there, you know, last bits of them, but they've cut in half the losses. The losses were still 2.7, I think they were, but they've cut in half the losses now, 2 years in a trot. So, you know, next year, if they do it again, it's going to be negligible, and they're going to be profitable. They're aiming for month-on-month profitability in the 2023 year. Now, the financial year for them, 2023, starts in July 2022. So from July in 2022, they're going to be profitable, you know? And they're going by them and what they say in their final results, they don't need to raise any money. So what's the issue? It's like, this is going to be a profitable, you know, digital media business, esports, gaming, around that area, very hot area, and they're profitable. And like, I don't know what happens. There's a lot of traders in there just flipping it all the time, which is quite annoying. But sooner or later, you know, it'll reflect the value of the business. And like I said, in the short term, you know, it's a voting, we'll say that, it's a voting game. In the long term, it's a weighing machine. The stock market, it weighs the value rather than just, you know, being at the heights of traders and stuff. But yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, if I had spare cash, I'd be topping up here, definitely. But I ain't getting that much spare cash. But I got a decent chunk anyway. But yeah, so I'm happy with it. But that's the thing, isn't it? Share price, is it? You are affected by the share price. We all are. It's emotional. When the share price goes down, you look for negatives. When the share price goes up, you just promote the positives. But in fact, when the share price goes down, the negatives, you can take advantage, because if you know the business, you know, you can do well. But
You need that magical cash, though, don't you? That's the thing. If all of these stocks that we've got, they all appear to be well set for something. Yeah. You just need the something to happen, really, and then I can start juggling around and start spotting opportunities by, you know, not trading. But you should know.
Well, what's nice though is we can see, right, on, for example, GFinity and Escapant, right. They're going to come out with trading updates, you know, or some kind of thing that would be impressive. But sooner or later, the market will catch on and think, "Wow, that is good value there." And in the end, you can't ignore that, because that is the basis for a good business. Full stop. So, you know, whilst the last update may have, you know, spooked people because the results are there, or they may need cash, but they don't need cash. They say they don't need cash, so they don't need that. They got cash year end with 1.4 million. supplemented by post year over at subscribe. So they raised 3.3 million, but they bought stock in for about 2.5. So you can add that, you know, 1.4, say, half million left. So they paid 2.5 in cash. So they got like an extra 500 grand. So they're close to 2 million in cash. They say they don't need cash for the next 12 months. And then they'd be profitable. So I don't know if that, I don't know why it fell off so hard. I don't know what the worry was. People seeing the loss and not realizing the loss reduced by 50%, 2.7 million, you know, from 5.5. So that'll go down again and they'd be profitable. So I don't understand what the problem is here. Calm down, everyone. Buy a good business. It's getting cheap now. This is now, I understand last year, based on the revenue, right? It was 5.7 million revenue. The growth there was decent. But based on that, it was like trading at, say, seven times those sales. That is not cheap compared to peers, but it's only at a smidge above those peers at five times sales. But their growth is a lot bigger than those peers. And so now, if they hit 9.4 next year, which is the target, you're talking below five times sales, and yet the growth is better than their peers. So they are cheap now. It's cheap, ladies and gentlemen. Do you understand that? I don't understand it with sales in the shops. When people announce the sales, people run to the shops. When the sales happen in the markets, people run away from it. So there we are. I don't understand that, but... Well, we all understand it because, you know, when it's a sell-off, people start panicking.
We're on board. You're talking to the converted here.
Yeah. Okay.
All maybe right. You just need to get the word out a little bit. Maybe send an email or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? I've got a lady come to do my swab. You know, my thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I put stuff in my nose and stuff and all that.
I realised I hadn't used four of my vouchers, which is handy.
Really?
I'm not quite as organised as Megan on this, so they just sort of sit in my inbox until I remember. And then we should explain what this is. This is the ONS COVID study, right?
Yeah, they come once a month now, don't they? They give you a voucher for just shoving things up your nose and in your ears. And they want some blood from you, though. That's these days.
Are you doing the blood bit?
I don't know if I'm doing it this week. I don't know what they say, but this month. I can't get the blood out. They want it. They were a little vial. You've got to fill a little vial of blood. It takes me half an hour swinging my arms around, putting them in hot water, jumping up and down, and I can't get anything out.
Yeah. I was going to say, you need to use some star jumps or something before.
I know.
Mine came out so quick last week that she didn't believe I'd done it. She was like, oh, right, wow. Like, it was literally 2 minutes, done.
You should say to her, no, I keep a spare vial of blood. I always do that.
It's just like, soy sauce.
Wasn't it like Billy Bob Thornton and Angelina Jolie when they were married? They both kept a vial of blood of each other around their necks.
Oh.
That's all. It didn't work out the divorce, didn't they? So it's like, you know, I don't know. You know, you can do all this nonsense. It's like, yeah, but you know, separated, so it didn't really work out, did it? So
I think it's quite handy though. Being out, I was having my results on that, but I like knowing the antibody thing. That's the only reason I do it.
Yeah. It is like when we get letters through sometimes. You know, I don't see why they send letters these days.
They've gone through email.
Have they? Okay. Yeah. Well, that was a little opening was quite good, isn't it? You just fill out. I said, it's a family event. You know, we've got very little going on here. Right. Monty Waite. No, you are test negative. Oh, and they move on. And then you obviously mess around. Megan, you're positive. I'm not. You are. Look. Only kidding.
You made the kids do the blood thing as well.
Not the blood thing. No, they just do that nose and stuff. And so sneezing fit.
That'll be really... weird family. That's something to remember in their adulthood. The time when dad forced us to bleed into a pot.
There's something else I want to say. Something else. I forgot. Anything else, Steve? Anything to talk about? But there's something. I'm trying. Something else I want to say then. But one thing. You mentioned trackers, right? Air tags. Mm. Apple AirTags are very good.
Do they work?
Yeah. If you want to say, I mean, we got one on the dog. All the dogs, she runs around, she goes like a maniac running through the, you know, all the bushes and stuff. And sometimes, I don't know how this is, once she runs through all these, you know, overgrown bushes and trees, and her harness, she had a harness, she came out with no harness on. I thought, how the heck did that happen? Because it was around her legs and over her shoulder. And so we had to walk around on a phone, you can activate it, and it makes a noise, going... You have to be like 10 yards or 20 yards within you know, the space of it. And they tell you, once you get to 5 yards, it actually shows you directions. You've got arrows, goes that way. I thought there's a game there, surely. Like a new type of treasure hunt game, surely in some way. But yeah, you can see it on the map. But listen, I've just bought my mother, right? It's excellent. It's called, you pay for it. It's basically a phone, but it's a tracker. So it looks like a pendant on a necklace, right? It's so good. Every minute, if you want, you can see exactly where she is. is also phone numbers. You've got five phone numbers, whitelist phone numbers. You can call through to it. It goes straight through to the speaker on the pendant, and you speak to her. So, of course, if you're dementia and stuff, they can't answer it. But you can say, ma'am, where are you? So I'm going for a walk. And you can see on the map as well, because you can set geo fences. So she goes out of a certain area, you get notified by text. If you press a little SOS button on it, or I doubt you will, it's a small button, you have to hold it in for 3 seconds, it'll call my number. If I don't answer, it'll go to the second number, my father's number. It's amazing. You can just talk. It's like a phone on a pendant. It's amazing. It costs £100, though. Plus, you have a subscription.
That's not too bad. I thought that was going
to
be a lot more.
Yeah, because of the phone, though, it's GPS. You have to pay, £9 a month.
Oh, right.
So that's for the, you know, it's basically like a phone with no buttons on. That's amazing now, because she does go wandering off, you know?
And in fact, will she wear it?
Yeah, well, what she's got at the moment is an Apple tag on her neck, and she thinks it's gold. She said, this is gold, this is. So, and that looks like a plastic thing. This actually looks nice. It looks like a proper, pendant. So, and we'll just say to her, oh, the boys want to give you this, because they can talk to her wherever you are. And you can, wherever you are in the world now, I can talk to her. Like, she went missing in Tenerife with my father on holidays. No one knew where she was. I said, where's the Apple tag, Dad? He said, I didn't pack it. So there's a downfall there. I said, Dad, it doesn't matter how good this device is. You've got to put it on her neck, you know? And also, you've got to charge it once every 3 or 4 days. But so there's that. But that's amazing, you know? That is so good. Do you know what I'm thinking of doing? If I was stupid, I wasn't careful with my money. You know, when you go on holidays and you're waiting for your suitcases, you can see where they are within meters of it. It's brilliant. So that's good. But you could shove that. These little trackers, you could shove anywhere, couldn't you?
This is why I asked the question, like, if you have to be close to it, then that sort of negates its usefulness.
No, it uses every iPhone in the world.
Yeah, the AirTags ones, yeah. On the AirPod, you update it on the map. You see where they are. Basically, you know exactly where they are. But then, of course, you can't zoom in to, like, within 3-4 yards, can you? Can you zoom into like, 20, 30 yards? And so you get that close, and you have to sort of guess. And we were in the woods and we lost, like I said, and it wasn't making a noise. It was here somewhere. Cause I can see on the map. It's saying it's right here somewhere. And then all of a sudden, we said, shh, shh. We make a shh. Brother, I go, there it is. So we had to find it then. But, bit of fun, that, you know. It's almost as exciting as opening the COVID letters.
Cool.
Anyway, anything else worth watching on TV? Any recommendations? Anything you watched?
MasterChef's back.
Yeah, all right.
It's entirely male this year. Apparently there are no women in the country who can cook, which feels a bit weird.
Oh, really? I'm surprised, being on the BBC, they didn't force some women in there, you know? Because it's not on merit these days, is it? You've just got to have, a balanced everything. You've got to be balanced. You know, you've got one of these, one of those, one of these. So I'm surprised. There's been complaints about that.
Well, I'm sure there has been. But from the producer's point of view, it's like, I guess you can only put people on the show who apply to be on the show. So whatever reason there is for the professional cooking industry to be so male skewed, I don't know. But I don't know. Something needs to be done there.
Yeah, okay. Steve, anything?
I started watching, I don't think it's going to be of interest to anyone, but I started watching a programme on Sky called Yellow Jackets. I'm only 2 episodes in, but yeah.
Why are you so muffly, Steve? What have you done to yourself?
Sounds really shy about this.
I don't know why I'm muffly.
Yellow Jackets? What's that about?
Is it like Heidi High?
Yeah.
It's about a women's football team that 25 years ago, they go on a plane and it crashes. And I think they end up having to like fight for survival. But the show kind of looks 25 years, or sort of looks at present of the things they did on this island when they thing. I think they had to eat each other and stuff like that. You know, it's a bit weird.
Sounds a bit like that. Remember that Channel 4 thing where, what was it called? Disappearance. No, do you remember the plane crash and they didn't know where it was? Lost. That's it.
Lost, yeah.
And I thought, the genius in Lost was this, right? No one knew if they were dead or anything, all of that. And all of a sudden, it started off on like Channel 4, didn't it? And then it switched.
BBC 2.
Oh, BBC 2, was it?
Yeah.
And then it, after second series, I was really getting into it, they switched it to a different channel. Yeah, literally, and that lost a lot of viewers. People, I don't know where it's gone. Oh, never mind. Let's watch something else now.
But they also openly admitted in Lost that they had no idea where the story was going. Yeah. They were making it up literally season by season, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And I think everyone was saying, well, they're dead, aren't they? They're dead. Let's be honest. And he said, no, they're not dead, no. And the producer said, no, keep the mystery going. No, they're not dead. No, 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 there's something else, a bit more clever than that. They're not dead. Turns out they were dead.
No, they run out of ideas. They're like, should we just go with the dead thing?
Yeah, I know. I think it was, yeah, everyone says they're dead. Let's just say they're dead. Because for a long time, they denied saying they're dead. Yeah, no.
The last seven series.
I know, okay, they're dead. Fair enough. All right, cheers, boys. Speak you next week. No, in fact, I won't, actually. Maybe not. Maybe I will. And maybe be away. Who knows? There we are. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.